Welcome to another episode of the Gold Standard Minnesota Daily Sports Podcast. I'm Champ Howard, and I'm here with Andrew Cornelius. Andrew, why don't you get us started?
Yeah, it's been a wild weekend for me personally, but also for some Gopher sports. We had to kick it off with Gopher volleyball, got a big win against the Wolverines, something we don't see very often for Minnesota sports against Michigan. They've won 6 straight in volleyball, but I can't remember the last time I've said that about any Gopher team against the Wolverines.
Definitely can't say it this year about the football team, that's for sure.
Basketball's looking rough, and both men's and women's in terms of beating Michigan as well. I think the women's team beat them last year, but the men's team, man, they're in a rough patch right now.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well just get right into that. We just lost to North Texas. Bad game. Less than 20 points in the first half. Defense looked good, though, to be fair.
Didn't get much better against Yale.
No, it didn't.
Free throw shooting did not improve as well.
Yeah, it's looking like we might be the last in the Big Ten this year for free throw shooting.
Washington was worse. I looked at it last game. Washington was like 44%.
Thank goodness. Because I think without Dawson, we might be shooting 30%. I mean, he's upwards of 90 right now. So
yeah, I checked it. He was 10 for 12. The rest of the team was like 4 for 13. That was like 43%. And I was like, that is so not serviceable for a Big Ten game.
It's looking bad. I mean, I'm going to give the Gophers a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. They've been missing Mike Mitchell for the past few games. No word on when he's going to come back exactly yet, but hopefully very soon.
Yeah, and Tyler Cochran, another one. I think they're both starting backcourt pairing. They're best choice. Those two will play, obviously, when Big Ten play and they're both healthy comes around. So they're playing guys probably Ben Johnson didn't really want to have to play early on in the season.
Yeah, I think Rigsby has definitely been kind of surprising, though. I didn't expect him to come from Oregon and come in and be a starter. He didn't play good his first couple of games, but last game, he really started to pick it up and look like himself.
Yeah, he had 33, led all scorers for the Gophers in those two exhibition games. So it's like kind of burst onto the scene. He's this three-level great scorer. And then you see the first two or three games, he's like kind of finding his footing at the level because he didn't play much. He played some, but he didn't play much at Oregon. So now becoming an everyday piece that on a team in the Big Ten is a different thing than being a role player.
I agree. And I think the biggest shocker this year has been Asuma. I mean, the kid looks like a football player. I don't know what he's doing on the basketball court, but that's the way he plays point of attack defense. He's got to be our best perimeter defender for sure.
Yeah, and he's just so fun to watch. He's such a creative passer. Like, you had one with Elijah Hawkins last year. He's not even getting as much tick as he was at Minnesota at Texas Tech right now. But with Asuma here, like, he's kind of stepped into a pretty big role in his first season, whereas Grayson Grove is now redshirting. But you see what Asuma's been able to do. It's pretty impressive for a true freshman.
And I think that, honestly, we probably didn't come into this season expecting him to get all this playing time, too. But with, like you said, Cochran out, it's been a lot harder for the Gophers guards to find their footing this year.
Yeah, and we came into the season, they were a very deep team. Same thing we said about women's basketball. They're both very deep teams, but that depth has been very much tested in this non-conference portion of the men's team schedule.
For sure. And Coach Johnson was talking about being comfortable playing 9-10 guys, but it kind of hurts when you have 3 of those guys missing time.
Yeah, and they finally got Frank Mitchell back. He came over pregame, the first game of the year, Oral Roberts, and he's like, I'll be back in 2 games. It's like, you dislocated your shoulder, brother. I don't know how you're going to do that. And he's lucky enough, he is back playing in game 3 against North Texas.
That's what playing hockey will do for you. Played hockey all those years. He's a fighter for sure.
Yeah, I don't know how the human body is able to. When I watched him injure himself in that first game in the preseason, I was like, bro, he's screaming on the floor in pain, and it looked bad. And then somehow, I think it's like a week or two later, he's back up, fully playing in a Division I men's basketball
game. Yeah, and he was huge in that game against Yale. I mean, he's grabbing these rebounds.
Well, he was the 4th leading rebounder in the nation last year at Canisius. Now he's at a bigger level, but the body frame and the size and the Dennis Rodman-esque, like, finding the ball, nose for the ball, is still there.
Yeah, he still looks like the biggest player on the court, no matter where he is.
Yeah, and then you need Dawson Garcia, who is finally kind of stepping up in every single game they've played so far this season in the 4th quarter kind of effort. Obviously, it's the second half, but the 4th quarter, when you're really laying in on someone, it's always been Garcia.
And he's been absolutely amazing this year. I mean, I don't know if he's still leading the Big Ten, but as of last game, he was leading the Big Ten in points, and that's been huge for our program if we want to go anywhere.
Yeah, and then on the women's side, they finally faced some tough competition. They went to Arizona State's facilities and played Oregon State and SMU, a newly ACC team now, which is kind of crazy to say. The fact that conference is just as nationwide as the Gophers' Big Ten is, but SMU gave him a little trouble there late in the second half. Just not making shots is what Trent Gauthier, who's one of the former SIDs now, was helping out on that trip, said. They just really weren't able to hit. Obviously, there's no broadcast at an Arizona State facility. They couldn't put up one camera to let us just watch the game. It's just like, okay, only a radio broadcast, so I just had to get outside information from inside people. Mm-hmm. But in the first game, they absolutely torched Oregon State, 73-38. It's pretty incredible for two Power 4 teams, really.
Yeah, it's amazing to see. I mean, I think Mara is in for a big year this year. Hopefully she can take a jump after missing mostly the latter part of last season with that foot injury.
When we mentioned, like, the front court for the Gophers, and I know everyone's touched on it, but, like, there's guys like Fox, Darcia, Mitchell, Trey Edmonds for the men's team, but then this Gopher women's team, Sophie Hart, Mallory Heyer, Taylor Woodson, and Annika Stewart making massive impacts in their first year as the Gopher.
Mm-hmm. I think we got to stay on women's sports, but switch it up a little bit. The Gophers women's soccer team just won their first-round game against South Dakota State University in the NCAA tournament. Sophia Bowman, the team captain, she's really come to play the last few games. And I just really think that they have a chance to make a deep run. But they got North Carolina if they win this next game.
And don't discount South Carolina. They're always a tough test as well, but really opportunistic. I think it was the first goal, or maybe the second one, where she's in the box. Just the ball floats around right into her path, and she's able to just slide it in. So the Gophers just taking their chances. Been the way all season. Taya Harper, incredible player, kind of shown in spurts who she really is in her first few years in their Gopher career, but now finally flourishing.
Yeah, I've gotten to talk to Kai a lot this year, and she really just hasn't been healthy. That's been her biggest problem, and this is the first time she's played a full season in her Gopher career, and so, I mean, it's a lot harder to get a flow and be the scorer that everyone has known she's been when you're not playing games.
Yeah, and they'll definitely ride her if they want to make a big run in this dance.
For sure, and Bowman as well. I mean, Bowman has had to deal with a lot with their injuries in the back line. She's been stepping back from the midfield. She's been stepping up to score, pass the ball. So she's really probably been their second best player outside of Harper scoring.
Yeah, we'll take you to our final Gopher sports, and I want to get in some pro talk with you after this. But
I love that.
Gopher football coming off a bye week and a loss from Rutgers the week beforehand, which is just embarrassing, and the fact that they let Ethan Kaliakmanis go. He comes back and whoops them without his star running back. Kyle Manungai isn't even playing. They still throw for over 240 yards and 350 as an offense on a Gopher defense that came in as one of the best secondaries in the nation in terms of takeaways and yardage. But it's incredible what Ethan Kaliakmanis was able to do against a team that last year he could just barely lead an offense in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see him playing pretty much a 180 from what we saw the past season and a half. And even the defense, too. I mean, we didn't expect – it was just an off game in general. It didn't look like what we've done all year.
Yeah, and then now you're preparing for one of the best teams in the country in Penn State coming into your house. Fleck really wants a great atmosphere, but it's kind of a tough transition. That's going to be – it's a November game. It's your last home game, and it's senior night. So that builds into that mojo, but you're already bowl eligible. The Gophers fans has been through this before. It's probably not going to be the bowl game they really want it to be unless they win these last two games against Wisconsin and Penn State. And not many people are going to want to travel to Detroit again.
Yeah, I definitely know that I won't be going, but it would be a great win if we can. Penn State's looked amazing this year, but you never know with the Gophers defense. They just sometimes will have a game.
Yeah, and well, they got to stop. Just every part of that offense is very good, whether it's Tyler Warren, whether it's Drew Aller, the quarterback, whether it's their running back Singleton as well is an absolute stud right next to Aller. So it's you got to handle all these pieces when there's probably half, if not more than half, are going to be in the NFL at some point in their careers for a Penn State Nittany Lions team. James Franklin, Coach Fleck mentioned it, like, he does an incredible job recruiting. Like, you want to be that premier program, which they can't seem to get over the hump to beat the Michigan and Ohio States, but they are right up there in terms of the talent they produce.
And Franklin is one of the best coaches in the nation. I mean, he's consistently had Penn State as one of the best programs. I think before we go on to the pro, and while we're on college football, who do you got as your Heisman this year?
Right now I'm Jenty. I agree. I'm on the Jenty train. I think if Travis Hunter had put up better numbers this year in terms of offense and defensive statistics, I think he'd no doubt win it. But when you have a guy running the way Ashton Jenty is And they're 9-1, mind you, only losses to the number one team in the country in a dogfight. Like, he has carried that team into the position where they're going to be a college football playoff team probably come the end of the season.
Yeah, and I saw a stat today that said certain amount of people in the box, he didn't get under 3 yards per carry until there's 9 people in the box. I mean, and those are probably on, like, goal line rushes, 3rd-and-1s, 4th-and-1s. So his ability to not really care about who's in front of him, whether it's 11 guys or 0 guys, it's just insane.
Well, when they have no threat of a receiving back either, like, he will maybe catch 1, maybe 2 passes in a game for, like, 5 to 6 yards. So they have no worries about him releasing into the flat. Like, it is only him running. And he just stands back there like they're saying Michael Myers and just torches defenses.
I think it's been very interesting because he led the nation in receiving the previous year. So, I mean, when he gets to the NFL, is that something that he just shows again?
Well, he's put on some pounds, let's say that. Like, he is now a stocky build and hard to tackle. Like, he will run through, as Marshawn Lynch, a word we cannot say or face on here.
He'll run through him. What do we got on some pro sports?
Yeah, I know you saw it, the Jordy edit. Shoot it with a left hand, Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Game winner.
I got that written down, too. But the problem is they've just had a couple of bad losses lately.
Yes, the Timberwolves have been a very Minnesota sports team-esque to start this season. It's been a struggle for them to get going, but they finally have. And that's the way it goes. Julius Randle, everyone's hating on the signing the trade, and then he comes and hits a game winner. Now everyone loves him.
Yeah, it doesn't help the Cats over there putting up 40-point games every other week. But I think Timberwolves fans will take a game winner over a good basketball team.
Well, and they will take the fact that his contract is significantly less, and they'll probably be able to sign him for significantly less if they choose to, but they can also let him go at the end of this year or next year and go get another star to put Edwards next to.
Yeah, the DiVincenzo's been a little off this year. He's only shooting about 30% from the field, which isn't what you expect from the guy who was top 3 in threes made last year. But you just got to think, it's coming. I mean, shooters know how to shoot at the end of the day, so I think he'll find it pretty soon.
Yeah, this has been, it's just so odd. I don't know. This team was so incredible last season, and they hit the wall against the Mavericks, and now they've kind of continued that wall hitting, if you want to keep going with that phrase, in this start to the season, but obviously it's early. Regular season really, at this point to them, doesn't matter. They're just hoping to get an easy draw, I should say, in the first round. But outside of that, when you're in the West, you're going to play a good team every round.
It's hard to get an easy draw in the West when there's 14 teams that can make the playoffs over there. But Anthony Edwards, the Timberwolves have changed the way they're playing. They're shooting a lot more threes this year. At one point, Anthony Edwards hit 50 threes in, I think, the 10th game of the season.
They're following my team, the Celtics, mantra.
The Celtics are doing a lot of good things over there in the East, too.
Hopefully beating the Cavs for the first team in the NBA this season.
I just keep looking at the NBA app, and I just keep seeing the Cavs keep winning. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know how they're doing it, but they have virtually the same team they did last year, but Kenny Atkinson came in and just been a great coach.
Just get hot at the right time, and obviously we're only 15 or so games in, depending on how many teams have played and back-to-backs and all that, but there's a long season to go. There's 67 more games to play.
Yep.
And just as you hit the hot streak, you can hit a lull. So it's a grind. The NBA season is a grind.
It is. I definitely think that they're going to be a team to watch this year. I mean, you don't go 15-0 and you're not at least considered a contender. So
yes, definitely. And that's also, they were last year as well. Obviously, they have to compete with the Celtics, the Knicks, who added a crazy amount of talent this offseason. Like Bridges and Cat to a team that was already one possession away, because that Nembhard 3 in that game, like, they go up 3-1. They're not losing that series, so.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't think they're too worried about their bench, because I don't think Tibbs is going to play them in the playoffs anyway, so.
Celtics took that mindset, just had basically Pritchard, Horford, and Hauser off the bench. They even cut that short, because then Horford had to start in the playoffs when Porzingis was down, and it works.
Yeah, it does. Especially once the playoffs come, there's only 16 games you got to win, so.
And the way Tibbs runs practices, they're already run into the ground already, so they're able to play the game just fine.
They're used to it. I mean, we got to talk about a little bit of football, too. The Vikings are finally back after their 2-game slide they had a couple of weeks ago. They just won again. It's great to see.
Well, it's great to see, but it's been rough sledding against 3 mediocre to subpar teams. The Jaguars was one of the ugliest games of football I've watched from the Vikings possibly in my life. They're playing Mac Jones. Sam Darnold looked like the Jets' Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. And then he comes back and plays his best game in the NFL, according to PFF, against the Titans. So I'm just like,
yeah,
you have the two polar extremes. And then he did both of them in one in that Colts game. He threw for three touchdowns to lead them back, but he also put him in the hole because he had that many interceptions as well.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, he's got Justin Jefferson. So I don't think O'Connell's too worried about Sam Darnold.
My main problem is you lost your stud left tackle, second most important player on your team in Christian Darrisaw, and that lost to the Rams. So you're winning these games right now. You're clawing through. Maybe you'll make the playoffs. Maybe you'll go 10 wins, 11 wins. But then when you get to have to face the Eagles, or you have to face the Jaden Daniels-led Commanders, where they're scoring every single drive, like, is this offense with Sam Darnold going to be able to put up the numbers to stay in those games? And it's like, this is the time you'd want Kirk Cousins, but also you wouldn't be able to have an incredible defense that you have with all the pieces they added if you had to pay Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. You kind of just got to hope that Sam finds his footing again that he found in those first 5 weeks. And Flores finds his footing as well, because, I mean, the defense has been a little more subpar than it was when we started this season.
They have found themselves against bad opponents, yes. They have been struggling whenever they've played good opponents on the late stretch. But, they've at least shown up. Like, shutting down Mac Jones and Will Levis is not something that should be applauded. I think, like, the Detroit Lions absolutely dominated them, 52-6.
Exactly.
And they don't even have their best pass rusher in Aiden Hutchinson. Their lead linebacker got hurt as well in that game.
Exactly.
So
that Lions team is just different. I mean, they're playing like it's the 2000s again with two running backs and just running down your throat.
And that was another episode of The Gold Standard. This episode was recorded by Champ Howard and Andrew Cornelius and produced by CeCe Heinen and Kaylee Sarovi. We hope you enjoy.